I'm going to talk about spacious places today, and that is the title. And I want to read the first psalm. I've got it all labelled, and all my little labels have all fallen down in my bag. So, Psalm, this is where I'm going. Psalm 18, verse 19. He brought me out into a spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. That is one of the most beautiful scriptures you will ever read. He brought me out into a spacious place. He rescued me. Why? Because he delighted in me. Off we go. This is spacious places. We're not going to watch the rest. I'm really sorry. Would you rather watch that than listen to me? But come with me, because the minute I think of spacious places, I think of Maria escaping the confines of the Abbey, rushing up and singing in that wide open space. But let's leave Maria for a little minute. The idea of spacious places is something that I've kind of come to in the last 6 months. And I was thinking, whoa, isn't this a brilliant title for a women's retreat? You know, spacious places. Nobody's done this before. Spacious places. It's just one of those buzzwords, isn't it? Like new wine or day spring, you know. I thought it would just really, really, you know, do it. And then I Googled it. And there's spacious places everywhere. There are a spacious place blog, a spacious place rehabilitation centre in Leeds, which is great. And there are top 10 verses of spacious places. So I didn't discover spacious places. Spacious places is out there, folks. It's the buzzword. But for me, after, 35, 40 years of being a Christian, this was a revelation that came to me this year. So it's never too late to find new things in the scriptures. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to bring you four, not the top 10, else you'll die. I'm going to bring you the four scriptures that speak of these spacious places. And then I'm going to look at what can be drawn from these scriptures. And then I'm going to just look at examples of spacious places. And then I'm going to take it down into a personal prayer level of what these spacious places may look like for us individually. And we'll go into worship and look at and reflect on spacious places in prayer. So that's where I'm going. So where did my journey into spacious places start this year? Well, this year has been a pretty rubbish year for me. I don't know why. I've struggled. I've not done very well with stopping work, and really, really hit some places where I felt really trapped in, really, really not good. And on one of these occasions, I kind of was just heading off, and I met up with my daughter in Ness Gardens. And she knew that I was in a bit of a bad place, and so we were having a cup of tea and a big piece of chocolate cake and walnut cake, and generally having a really good chinwag, being this cafe in Ness Gardens. And I don't know what it is about me and Megs, but we seem to attract the, is it politically correct to say oddballs? No, it's not really politically correct. Well, people who are not, yeah, oddballs, all right, sorry, forgive me. But we do say, wherever we go, we seem to get these people who want to talk to us and tell us all these bizarre things. Anyway, we were sitting in this corner, me and Megs, and this, eating our chocolate cake and our walnut cake, and this bloke came up to us, and he was obviously a bit dishevelled. He had his teal down him, and he was looking like he wasn't quite sitting with anybody. So he came up to our table and he said, "I like cake." And me and Megs were going, "Okay, okay, yes." We were saying, "Yes, yes, okay, okay, cakes, great cake, yeah. We like cake too, we're having some cake." So you're just trying to just think, go and, you know, sit back and over there kind of thing. So he did, he went back and sat over there. And me and Megs carried on talking and talking and talking. And he came back to us and he said, "Do you know, I really like cake." And we're going, "Okay, okay, right, we're not eating our cake. We have our cake. Have our cake. Go on, here it is." So, because we'd got fed up, we were a bit fed up. So off he toddles with our cake and proceeded to eat it. So me and Megs were free to carry on drinking our tea. And then he came back and we thought, "Oh my days." And he said, "I've got something for you." Well, we said, "Oh, okay, okay." So we were just sort of like, just trying to be as kind and pleasant as we could, but thinking, "Please just let us be." He says, "I've got something for you in my pocket. And he was talking to us like this the whole time. So I said, "Okay, what is it?" So he pulls out of his coat a book. And this book was called The Daily Light, Daily Readings. I thought, okay. Said, this was in June. "I want to go to October the 10th. October the 10th. And he was adamant that he was going to show us this page, October the 10th. And lo and behold, on October the 10th was this scripture, which I'm going to share with you tonight. So that was the beginning of my journey. So I thought when I got home, I thought, right, you never know when God sent you an angel, so I'll check this out. So the scripture that I got was Psalm 118. It was a psalm that's attributed to David, and I'm pretty sure it's David who wrote it. And the verses that he gave were this: "In my anguish I cried to the Lord, and he answered me, he answered by setting me free." Now in the New Testament, the New International Version, it says, "When hard pressed, I cried to the Lord. He brought me into a spacious place. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? The Lord is with me. He is my helper. I look in triumph on my enemies." And there it is. I cried to the Lord. He brought me into a spacious place. So I started searching around that scripture, and I very quickly got to Psalm 18, and this is where I've got my base scripture from tonight. "He reached down from on high and took hold of me. He drew me out of deep waters. He rescued me from my powerful enemy, from foes who were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my disaster, but the Lord was my support. He brought me out into a spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me." Now, David, if you look at that psalm, David wrote this, and it says, "For the director of music, of David, the servant of the Lord, he sang to the Lord the words of this song when the Lord delivered him from the hands of his enemies and from the hand of Saul." And David sang this song again at the end of his life. So this was a really powerful psalm that he it was on his heart. And he knew, because he got into some terror, he got into a terrible place with fleeing from Saul, and he talks of this spacious place that the Lord brought him to. Now there's another scripture in Psalm 31, again of David. It's Psalm 36, 36, verse 7 to 8. "I will be glad and rejoice in your love, for you saw my affliction, and you knew the anguish of my soul. You have not given me into the hands of the enemy, but have set my feet in a spacious place." Now, all those scriptures are coming in from David. But there was a nice one in the top four that I think is just lovely, and it's in a roundabout sort of place, and it's in Job. And it's actually one of Job's friends who's talking to Job. So it's Elihu. And Job's, you know, scratching away at all his sores and everything and wondering what's going on, and is in a very bad place. And Elihu's not helping him, because he keeps telling him that this is what God would be doing if Job only would let him. But I just think it's wonderful, because they think this is what they know that God will do. For those who suffer, he delivers in their suffering. He speaks to them in their affliction. He is wooing you from the jaws of distress to a spacious place free from restriction, to the comfort of your table laden with choice food. He's wooing you from the jaws of distress, saying, come on, come on, to a spacious place free from restriction, to the comfort of your table laden with choice food. Now, I think that's of God. That speaks of God, doesn't it? And it just speaks of how God brings you forward. And it's not what you're doing. He's saying, come on. And that the idea of the comfort of your table laden with choice food, when he brings you into a spacious place, he doesn't take you from narrow places to just a clearing in the woods. He brings you to a wide open space. Big space. And I think this is to the comfort of your table laden with choice food. It's abundance. It's God's abundance. You know, my cup flows over. And that's the picture of your spacious places. Okay, so those are the scriptures. There's many more. But I just want to look at what the patterns are in each of these passages that we can draw from as a pattern that we can go to when we're in these places where we need to be delivered into spacious places. So the first pattern, the first part of the pattern, is that they were all situations where the person was hemmed in. David was hemmed in. The deep waters that David talks about can also be translated narrow place, narrow gorges, trapped. Those words come through. When you feel like that, David felt like that. And that's the time to remember there's another three steps to go where you can end up in spacious places and abundance. So that's the trapping in. In Psalm 18, verse 5, the cords of the grave coiled around me. The snares of death confronted me. He was in deep waters, a narrow gorge. Psalm 118. His enemies surrounded him, swarmed around him like bees. Verse 13 said, I was pushed back and about to fall. Psalm 31, free me for the trap that is set for me. David was in anguish. He was in distress, he was afflicted, and he was groaning. But what's the next pattern? The next stage in the pattern, that's all going to fall on the floor. Next bit, and this is a crucial bit. He cried to the Lord, and God hears. In every passage that David put, and I cried to the Lord, and God heard, and he answered. Psalm 18, verse 6, in my distress, I called to the Lord. I cried to my God for help. From his temple, he heard my voice. My cry came before him into his ears. Psalm 31, verse 17, let me not be put to shame, for I have cried out to you. For you saw my affliction, and you knew the anguish of my soul. Psalm 118, in my anguish, I cried to the Lord, and he answered. So we've got hemmed in, cried to the Lord, God he is. And then what does he do? He answers by placing you into a spacious place. In the translation, just prior to the last version, in New International Version, he talks about, and he set me free. Set me free. So Those spacious places are not just being free from behind. He brings you into a new place, a spacious place, a big, wide open place, a place of abundance. And that is our God, because he delights in you. So just look at, let's just drill down a bit. Drill down a bit. And get back to Maria, banging up from the old abbey and singing "The Hills Are Alive." What do you think those spacious places are? Just buzz some words out at me, what you think those spacious places are about. You'll need to shout, "I'm deaf." What's the first word when you think of that spacious place? What comes to mind?
Places of worship.
Place away from fear. Say again. Outdoors. Yeah. For us that means. But the if you've been trapped in, hemmed in, and you're brought through to a spacious place, what other words come to mind? Freedom. Is that what you said? I'm glad you said that. Freedom. Freedom. Anything else?
Liberation.
What else can there be there? Security, yeah. Wide open place. No danger. I've got freedom at the top of my list. The second one I put down was breathe. When you get to those wide open places, you can breathe again. You can just breathe. And I thought, I think that's what Maria was doing. You can sing. It can be a place of refreshing, renewing, new beginnings. It can be a place of emptying, leaving go, letting the past go. Decluttering. So it's not just a coming in, it's a letting go as well. Just clearing that space and allowing God to do it. But it's a place of abundance, place of recovery. All these words, it could be any of those things. And it'll be what it is for you when you are in those places where you're trapped and hemmed in. When you get to those special places, there'll be all these things going on. And we have a good God. Delights in us. So, just where do you find the special places? Where do you find the spacious places? Well, the first place is salvation, isn't it? First place is when you come to it. Let me just read you the story of John Newton. John Newton, in 1725 to 1801, was a militant atheist, bully, and blasphemer. He was a wild and angry young man. He was press-ganged into the Navy at the age of 18, where he broke the rule so recklessly that he was publicly flogged for desertion. He was hated and feared by his crewmates, and himself became a slave trader. At the age of 23, Newton's ship encountered a severe storm off the coast of Donegal and almost sank. He cried out to God as the ship filled with water, and on that day, 10th of March, 1748, God rescued him. He began a new life. He started to pray and read the Bible. Eventually, he joined William Wilberforce in the campaign to abolish the slave trade, and became a leading light in that campaign. Newton is best known as the author of the hymn, "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see." He's just a typical example of Jesus says in John 8:36. "So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." And that salvation, that setting free from the broken world that we find ourselves in, the broken people that we are,
The world calls it sin. It's not a word that I use a lot these days, but it's that brokenness that and all that is that the freedom comes, a spacious place comes because of Jesus. So that's spacious places of freedom, and then we have our journey. And I've came to this story in Acts, and I thought, you know, as we walk our Christian journey, there's many, many times when God delivers us out of trapped places into spacious places. And it took me to Acts 27, which is a story again of a shipwreck when Paul was prisoner, and he was on a ship, and a big storm blew up, and he was shipwrecked, and he landed on Malta, and his faith took him that place. And then he was bitten by a snake, if anything else couldn't have been happening to him. But this is what he said at the end of it. So he's shipwrecked, just been bitten by a snake, just batted it away, and he was living. And on Malta, there was an estate nearby that belonged to Publius, the chief official of the island. He welcomed us to his home and for 3 days entertained us hospitably. His father was sick in bed, suffering from fever and dysentery. Paul went to see him and after prayer placed his hands on him and healed him. When this happened, the rest of the sick on the island came and were cured. They honoured us in many ways, and when we were ready to sail, they furnished us with the supplies we needed. And what was lovely about that story, I thought, was the abundance was there. So he wasn't just rescued and set free. There was abundance waiting for us. So that's in our journey. As we walk the walk, many times God will rescue us. And then I was thinking about heaven and our eternal destiny. Isn't that the ultimate spacious place? If you read Revelation 1:25, New Jerusalem, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eye. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order things has passed away." He who is seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Isn't that a beautiful picture of spacious places? So, what's your spacious place look like? Is God wooing you into spacious places? Are you feeling in a place where you may feel trapped, prisoned, hemmed in a narrow place? God wants you to move with him, wooing you to spacious places. Why does he want to do that? Why does he want to place you in a spacious place, a place of freedom, a place of abundance, a place of liberation, a place where you can sing and breathe? It's because he delights in you. Isn't that a wonderful thing?